You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out door.
Come over here, kid. Wait, son. You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. And you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the one country's most delicious hour. How are you doing this evening? Wild storms, huh? My goodness. I have to say, I don't want anyone to get hurt. I don't want any property damaged. I don't want any inconvenience, but I really love weather. I just love it. In fact, I would have loved to have been out at the topic of our show this evening, Nick's Cove. I bet it would just be an amazing place to enjoy a storm. Before I introduce our guests, though, just a couple of things. I want to remind everyone that the farmers markets that go year-round in Sonoma County, they are open rain or shine. I was not able to make it to the Santa Rosa Market yesterday. Had a little accident. Just fell down a flight of stairs that were way too wet and then just slowed me down a little bit and I had to miss the market. But I did go to the Sebastopol Farmers Market this morning and it was glorious. The sun had come out. It was one of the most beautiful days at the market. So just because it's raining, don't think that you have to miss your market. Even if the sun hadn't been out, there would have been a lot of vendors there. And you should also know that for the month of December, the structure of the market in Sebastopol is a little different. You can park in the parking lot, and instead of, you know, the booths being in that L-shaped parking lot, they're all in the town square. And this is an agreement they reached when the market went year-round last year. It used to end on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. When it went year-round, the merchants that are there near that parking area in the town square asked that that parking lot be kept free during the Sundays in December so people could go park and easily do their Christmas shopping. Ironically, today there was no power downtown, so there weren't a lot of shoppers. And another thing when it comes to shopping, check out all of the crafts fairs and arts fairs that are going on, and also check out the merchants that are at your local farmers markets. You can do all of your holiday shopping, should you choose, without ever going into a national or international chain store, into a mall or anything like that. I went to an arts and crafts sale today. It's one of my favorite ones. I went actually yesterday and today and just found exquisite pieces of art, some wearable, some you hang on the wall, great prices, beautiful, one of a kind. So if you're the kind who gets grumpy when you go into big box stores and that sort of thing, you don't have to. You can free yourself from all of that consumerism and just enjoy the beautiful weather, the unique weather at this time of year, and being with friends. So there you go, my lecture for the night. Nice lecture as far as lectures go, don't you think? A few weeks ago, I was invited to spend the night out at Nick's Cove, and I adjusted my schedule and made sure that nothing interfered so that I could get there. I stayed in a little tugboat-shaped room. Nicolina?
Nicolina.
Yeah. Nicolina. And it was just so lovely. It is pet-friendly, so I had my little dachshund Joey with me. And it was... I slept with the door onto the bay. I slept with the door open and could sort of hear the water gently lapping all night. It's really just an extraordinary place. The first time I ever recall going to Nick's Cove, we got there, pulled up. There were no cars in the parking lot, and there was a sign in the door saying, "Closed for Nick's funeral." So I never actually saw Nick at Nick's Cove, but I have been there many times since. And it recently changed ownership, and we're going to hear about that story. We're going to hear about the restaurant, which had some great food while I was there. And we're going to probably deviate off to a little bit of conversation about what is happening with oysters in Tomales Bay. That's been in the news lately. On that note, we have with us Dina Grunt, General Manager and Director of Operations.
Hi.
And I was so worried about you. I thought you were driving all the way from Point Reyes, but you were only coming from Petaluma. So yeah. I don't feel guilty anymore.
It was an easy drive.
Good. I'm so glad. And we have executive chef and I know your name and I'm blanking.
Austin,
that's yes. Right. You have that great. Yes. Austin, tell me your last name, Austin.
Perkins.
That's right. Austin Perkins. And you were so nice. You gave me your recipe for savory carrot bread pudding.
I did.
And I'll tell you, it's so rare that I ask for a recipe, which probably makes me sound really arrogant. But usually
I'm glad
I
was the one that you
I usually asked. Don't ask for recipes. I'm just never that interested. And that bread pudding was a real revelation. I thought it was marvelous.
Great. Thank you very much.
There you go. And anyway, thank you. Did you come up from Petaluma as well?
I did.
Cool. Okay. So tell us, you know, it was Pat Coletto who bought, mm-hmm. I think he bought the property in 1999.
Correct.
I was actually there
yeah.
when he was talking
oh,
to the
right.
owner.
Yes.
Maybe we'll get to that story. Maybe we won't. That was interesting.
It's a good story.
It really is. And it took him 8 years to get it open, I think.
Correct. Yeah. He purchased it in 1999 from Ruth Gibson. And then he and Chef Mark Franz entered the dark days of getting through the Coastal Commissions County of Marin and all the other agencies. Mm-hmm. I think there was an email that I saw once, and it was like 32 people were CC'd on any and all emails pertaining to any and all developments.
And there are all these requirements because it's historic.
Yes, it's historic. There was the red-legged frog habitat. There was, you know, and then, of course, the protection of our tremendous, beautiful Tomales Bay. Mm-hmm. So I get it. There were lots of people that had lots of things to say about it, mm-hmm. and they all had to come together to figure out what was best for the area, what was best for the habitat, what was best for everybody. And then... we're so lucky, we really are, that mm-hmm. Pat Coletto was the visionary that he is, that he was the one that took on that project.
It was pretty ramshackle at that point. And a woman who has since opened Mar Vista up mm-hmm. north of Gualala, Renata Dorn, she was just about to close on her deal with Ruth when Pat came in and offered, I think, twice the amount of money.
You know, this is a story that you told me when we had dinner at Nick's, and I had never heard that story.
Yeah,
so that's a good tidbit.
It was just very odd that I witnessed it. Uh-huh. I was there because I was reviewing for the Chronicle at the time, and they called me in a total panic, saying, "We've got the weeks wrong. We actually need a review from you tomorrow. What can you do?" And I was like, oh, you know, I said, how about I go out to Nick's Cove? I haven't been out there in years. It's a great trip. They said, fine, go to Nick's Cove.
Right.
And I went, and it was just a very weird day for many, many reasons.
Yeah.
And
especially now, you know, so many years later, remember that conversation.
But I was there, and I saw Pat Coletto. And then I saw this woman dressed very nicely, this older woman walk in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was positioned in such a way that I could actually eavesdrop. And I know Pat, but mm-hmm. he didn't recognize me. He was focused on something else.
Sure.
So I got to overhear this thing. And that was when, and it was... 3 days later, they were going to, Renata Dorn and Ruth were going to sign the papers.
Wow.
And she walked in. She was leaving her house, and Pat was standing outside her gate with this is the story, with an offer written on binder paper that he handed her, and she walked into the attorney's office and put the paper down and said, "We need to talk."
Wow.
And so,
well, you know, that sounds Pat Coletto style. You know, he goes big.
Yeah. And Renata is doing, she has a wonderful place. There's no restaurant.
Yeah.
But she has little beautiful little cabins that overlook the Pacific. And
oh,
this really pretty, not so much a meadow, but a meadow-like area
yeah.
where people go up, they rent the whole place, they have weddings, there's a cabin for the whole, enough cabins. She has a garden, she has chickens.
Yeah.
Every cabin has a kitchen. So I think she's very happy with her space. I think it worked out well.
You know, I think sometimes things happen for a reason, and I mean, if, I don't know what her pockets were like for those 8 years, but I don't know that there were many other people that could have yeah. weathered the storm of 8 years of redevelopment and the fees and everything else, because you know that's part of the story, right?
Right.
He
yeah.
ultimately had to sell it because they bought it in 1999. They opened in 2007 after spending 2, 3, 4 times as much as they had yeah. anticipated spending, and they never quite caught their breath.
Yeah,
they just couldn't get ahead.
Yeah, and plus, so, on top of it, they were going pretty high end.
Yes.
And boom, the recession came.
Correct, yeah.
It had been open for a year after the recession.
Well, like, I mean, July of 2007 is when it opened, and that's pretty much when everything was starting to really
starting, and then by
the
summer
fan.
Of 2008,
exactly.
forget it.
Forget
yeah.
it, right.
Yeah, so what Renata was going to do something very, very different. She was not going high end. She was mm-hmm. going, she had this vision. What she told me about was the kind of casual places that you see in Europe
mm-hmm.
where people go on family walking vacations or biking vacations. So the cabins were going to be very inexpensive
mm-hmm.
and she was going to keep it basically like it was
right.
really a fish shack.
Right.
But preserve it.
Right.
So, anyway, Renata's fine. She's happy.
Right.
And now new owners took
yes.
over a year ago?
Yes, August of 2011. Mm-hmm. It was purchased by a private investor.
Mm-hmm. And how have things been doing in the last year?
Oh, my gosh. Night and day, right?
Great.
Austin?
Yeah.
I mean, he's been there. He was there before me, and I was there before the new ownership. So we both bridged
so
the gap.
You did. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long were you there?
Since 2008.
Okay.
So, I was a sous chef originally, mm-hmm. under the, I guess it would be the second chef, actually. They opened with a different mm-hmm. group, under Adam Malley, and then took over last year in August with the change of ownership. And it's night and day. Although, you know, Pat was a great restaurant designer, we just have so many more resources now and can really
yeah.
deliver what Nick's Cove should be,
mm-hmm.
in our opinion.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing I want to start, I want to go through this space physically, and I want to start with the pier and the mm-hmm. room out on the pier, because I think this is really funny.
The boat shack.
The yeah. boat shack, and how you can't get table service out there.
So I can't, this is funny, because there we have these managers meetings, and every couple of weeks or every couple of days it comes up, and we all kind of pull our hair out about the boat shack.
It's a love-hate relationship
yes,
for sure.
It is. It's one of those places where it's of course that's where everybody wants to be. It's this beautiful little shack,
and how
out
is
at
it?
The end of the 400 foot
oh,
pier.
400 foot, okay.
Yeah, it's 400 feet. It you know juts out right into the middle of the bay. Practically, you're touching. You can practically touch, you know, Hog Island, and it's magical. There's a fire going. There's places to sit. There's a piano you can play.
Oh, I'd love that old
especially
piano.
Especially if the rain is falling. It has mm-hmm. this beautiful tin roof. So, I mean, it's magical out there.
Mm-hmm.
And people want to eat out there.
Sure.
But we can't serve them.
And what is that regulation?
The Coastal Commission precludes us. We are not allowed to serve any food or alcohol. Alcohol, obvious, because there's no one overseeing the liquor license, so we have to be safe. So we're not allowed to serve alcohol down there.
Mm-hmm.
But in the documents, how the ABC wrote the laws of what we can consume, I guess, for lack of a better term, is we are allowed to sell a customer a glass of wine or a cocktail, and they may quote unquote consume it as they stroll along the pier, end quote. So people buy a drink and then they stroll, and we say all our bartenders, they go, oh, you're welcome to stroll along the pier. Everybody says that, right?
No, it's definitely like a catchphrase now.
It's yeah, it's kind of caught on. So they're
and
they
you can
stroll.
Get food to go.
They yes, and our to go food, because it's a public pier. One of
oh,
the
that's
requirements,
what it was. It's
yes.
a public pier. That's it.
So one of the requirements when it was when the conditional use permit was given to us, is that we had to leave the pier open to the public from sunrise to sunset. Okay. It's a public pier. People can bring their own food or they can get takeout food. And we're happy to provide them takeout food. Mm-hmm. So they can order at the bar takeout food and they get a takeout food tray that they can stroll along the pier.
Or they can eat wherever they want.
Or they can eat, yes, they can eat, yeah. So it's a workaround. Everybody's happy. Mm-hmm. But it does become tricky when sometimes people say, oh, we'd like a table. And we say, oh, you know, we have a 20-minute wait or a 30-minute wait if they didn't have a reservation. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, okay. So they go to the boat shack and then they call for takeout. It's like, no, it's the same kitchen.
We still have a 20-minute wait.
It's the same kitchen cooking the food.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So that's where we go. Oh, the boat shack.
Yeah. And one thing we should say, which we haven't, if you're not familiar with Nick's Cove, it is in Marshall.
It is. It's in North Marshall. What is it? Population 50. So if there's a north part of anything that only has a population of 50, it's Marshall.
And it's north of Hog Island's
Oyster Company.
Yes.
Correct. It's north. Yes.
So we're between the town of Tamales and Hog Island Oyster mm-hmm. Company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a much faster drive from Sebastopol. When I was coming out, they said arrive after 3.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I guess it'd been a while. I was allowing an hour and a half. And I think I was there in 35 minutes.
Yeah, it's close.
We kind of fight
really
that perception. We kind of fight that perception of distance all the time.
It's I think about going to Stinson, which takes a year and a half.
Right.
You know, it's just a really long drive to Stinson.
Yeah.
It's really
it's
not
short.
Very far to Marshall.
It's short to us. I mean, where I live, my door-to-door commute is 23 minutes. And that's driving.
So you're in Petaluma.
Absolutely.
Not that she times
limits.
It every day.
No, I do.
But where do you go? What's your route from Petaluma?
I take Washington to Bodega, make a left at the Coast Guard, go out Petaluma Tamales Road, make a left at the one, and I'm
23
miles
minutes.
Down. 23 minutes door to door.
Wow.
And I don't speed because I recently got a speeding ticket. So now I put my cruise control on. So
which, as we all know, in southern Sonoma County in Petaluma where we live, it can take you 23 minutes to get to downtown Santa Rosa.
Exactly.
You know? Or you're lucky.
Right.
Or across the 101.
Right. I know. So what are you? Yeah, across
town. Are you from Southern California?
No.
Oh,
no.
You're not?
No.
Oh, okay, because it's all Southern California people that I know that put the article in front of the freeway. That's usually how I tell.
It's just 101 here.
Yeah. Up here we say 101, but people from Los Angeles move up here and they start calling it the 101.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't notice that.
Yeah, if you're from Northern California, you notice.
Yeah.
But then we go down there and we say, oh, first you take 405, and they just look at you. It's like, the 405. Okay, see, we just always deviate here on Mouthful. That's what makes it fun. So we've started out.
Yes. And that's a really good place to start because you come in, grab a cocktail, stroll along the pier, enjoy the boat shack. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will come in, get a drink, and go watch the sunset out there, which is really one of
gorgeous.
The most spectacular things that you'll ever see. Is sunset at Nick's Cove is really spectacular.
Now, there's also, what's it called, a boat. I mean, you can tie up mm-hmm. there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do people do much?
Absolutely.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we have slips that people come over. In fact, I just met a couple over Thanksgiving who have a home in Inverness. And they say, oh, we drive our boat over and we dock it and we go in for your Bloody Marys.
Oh, what a nice way to live.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, that's so awesome.
And then you come out and then you have some outside seating mm-hmm. that surrounds the dining room.
Correct. Yes. We have a few outdoor tables that are kind of right on that frontage patio mm-hmm. that are out truly outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the dining room and bar.
Correct. And our beautiful fireplace.
Yes.
That's lit pretty much every day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then the enclosed patio deck is kind of it was open back in the day when Nick and Francis.
Probably the first time you were there.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes.
But that's all enclosed,
right?
And we have heaters as well mm-hmm. because the wind can come in.
Sure.
Because it's not technically a fully enclosed; it's mm-hmm. mostly enclosed. And then we have an exhibition kitchen, so mm-hmm. you can watch Chef perform his magic.
And you don't, you serve brunch on the weekends?
We do, right? Saturdays and Sundays. We start at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And brunch goes from 10 to 3. And then from 3 to 5, we have a midday menu, mm-hmm. which is just a smaller selection for us to have a transition time. We don't ever want to close because people just come up the one. Yeah. There, I said the one again. Maybe I think it's just the one. I don't know if it's,
no, it's
Highway
one. It's one.
No, I know, but I mean, I don't know if I say that the with any other one, highway except one. But anyway, so many people are coming all day long that we don't ever want to close. But we really need that transition time in the kitchen,
sure.
to go between brunch or lunch and dinner. Mm-hmm. So that midday menu kind of gives us that little breathing room.
Mm-hmm. And then during the week, is it lunch and dinner?
It is. Same thing. Lunch from 11 to 3, 3 mm-hmm. to 5 midday, and then 5 o'clock every night dinner starts.
Mm-hmm. And you were doing music on Tuesdays, right?
Yes,
is Tuesday. That still happening?
Yes.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Does that go year-round?
Year-round.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's a really wonderful...
$1.50 oysters and $3 well beers and
Lagunitas.
Well drinks and beers and yeah.
$1.50 yeah. oysters. You know. That
come
sounds
test
good.
Your limits, yeah.
I have never found my limit.
Good.
Ever.
Good.
Yeah.
I hope to, at least once yeah. in my life. I hope to push back the tray of ice and say, I have finally had enough oysters.
My favorite right now are the Atlantics. I'm really loving those Point Reyes Atlantics. I had some the other night. My son and I had a date, and we went out to Nick's, and we delivered our Christmas tree, and then we decided we would just have dinner out there. And he loves oysters. He'll be 10 in a couple of weeks. And
isn't it great when they're the... Oh, my grandson loves
love
oysters.
His palate. Love his palate.
Her son has a pretty wide-open palate. Yeah, I'm always shocked.
We should get... Your son and my grandson together, because that's, yes. that's how Lucas is. Oh, my God. It's amazing.
Yeah, he loves the, what is it, Red Hawk from yeah. Cowgirl Creamery. Yeah. And I can't even eat that. He's like, oh, yeah. He's known as the Stinky Cheese Boy from, what is it, Shorty at Point Reyes and Point Reyes, at uh-huh. the Point Reyes Tamales Bay Foods Company. Uh-huh. She has a little grocery stand, and all the girls at the Cowgirl Creamery, he's... My husband and I, and we take him there, and he's known as the Stinky Cheese Boy.
Oh, I should take Lucas out there.
It.
Blue cheese, the like,
yeah,
real blue cheese. One of his favorite snacks is blue cheese and a pile of anchovies that I have soaked in red wine
oh
vinegar.
My gosh, yeah, they would have fun together.
Yeah.
My son will eat the can of sardines.
Oh,
and I'm just like, you got to eat that outside. You can't eat that in the house.
It's so great when you're blessed with an eater,
yes.
when a little kid.
Yeah, he's awesome.
It's really fun. So, where were we?
Sorry, so the Atlantics.
We, oh, that's
we,
right, the Atlantics.
We ordered some Atlantics, and they were just like, I...
Now, who was growing the Atlantics?
They that's come from Point Reyes Oyster Company.
Oh, Point Reyes Oyster mm-hmm. Company. Okay.
So there's yeah. about 5 people in Tamales Bay doing oysters right now.
Right, there's Hog Island.
Hog Island, Tamales Bay Oyster Company, Cove Mussel Company, which produces some oysters, Point Reyes, did I already say Point Reyes?
Oyster? Not yet.
And Marin Oyster Company.
Okay. Yeah. There was, Bay Bottom Beds, and I think they were purchased by what became Tamales Bay.
That's
I'm pretty sure.
Probably right.
They called their oyster Preston Point because they were at Preston Point.
The Tamales
Bay. Yeah.
Yeah. They were up here in the 80s, and they sold, I think they sold right around 2000.
Huh. There was Jensen back then, too.
Yeah. That's right, Jensen. Jensen, and there was until, 3 days ago?
Oh.
Drake's Bay Oysters.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a sad day.
What I'm wondering, what will happen with the oysters on that farm? Drake's Bay, in case you don't know, the Department of Interior closed Drake's Bay Oyster Company when the lease was initially offered, if I have this right, in 1976. It was with the stipulation that it will close in 2012. And the Lundy was, I think it was the Lundy's.
Lundy's,
yeah. Because they were on here shortly after they mm-hmm. had taken over. And they were going to fight to try to keep it open.
It's been a tremendous fight. They yeah. have given it their all.
Yeah, and it's for the preservation of Drake's Estero.
Mm-hmm.
And I have really mixed feelings about it. I mean, I'm really, really happy at the very long history at Tamales Bay of preserving that area. I mean, it was somewhere at Tamales Bay that a city of 20 or 25,000 was planned. And there's somewhere there's a great story of how that was stopped.
Yes.
So I think that there were, even though, I mean, Pat Coletto suffered, people wanting to do businesses have definitely suffered. I think it's remarkable that that piece of land is treasured in the way that it is.
It is. I believe, do you know Marsha Baranaga? She was recently quoted in, I can't remember the publication right now, but I think their property was one of the areas where it was all going to be homes, just massive amounts of homes. And it was a cheese article. Are you remembering, Austin? I can't remember.
No,
the
I know. She is a cheese producer, and she's in Marshall.
Yeah, it was just this huge piece of property that would have all been homes.
Yeah.
I mean,
and the traffic, they would have had to widen it, so it would have been four lanes through there, and it would have just destroyed what the natural beauty. So I think it's been a really great lesson to everyone about how something like that can be saved.
Sure.
And I read or heard one very short quote from the Secretary of the Interior that Drake's Estero is the largest piece of land of its kind in North America. And he just talked about it being one of the great treasures of the United States. And
right.
I thought, I'm so glad they noticed. You know, sometimes there are things that don't get noticed. Like, don't cut down the redwoods, okay? Leave the old growth alone. So I'm glad that they're paying attention to those
kind of
treasures.
It will be interesting to see what happens with the water. And, I mean, you know, that company, there were employees, there were homes.
Yeah, that's the thing, 30 employees.
There were so many, you know, just other issues as well. So yeah,
and they're wonderful people, which is...
Yeah, they are. They're good people. Well, they still have their cattle ranch.
Yes.
So the Lunnies will be okay.
Yes.
But, you know, there are a lot of oysters there. What will happen with those oysters? Do they give them
I don't know.
As far as I know, they have 90 days right now.
They're
not immediately closed.
Oh, that was how they made it sound on the news. It's like, okay, as of today, you're closed.
Yeah.
I think they have harvest time.
They have 90 days.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
So I'm sure they'll try to extract as many as they can.
Sure. Okay. Well, that answers that question perfectly. We're going to take a little musical break here on Mouthful. We'll be right back.
Let it all hang out. Watch this. Dang-a-lang-a-lang.
It's Mouthful. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're having a good weekend. We are talking about Nick's Cove with Austin Perkins, executive chef. I got it right, didn't I?
You did.
And Dina Grunt, director of operations and general manager, both who went through the transition of ownership that took place last summer. Let's talk about the cabins. There are five on the...
Right on Tamales Bay, yeah.
And then seven? Okay. Yep.
Seven across Historic Highway 1. Uh-huh. Yeah. There are five. So five of the cottages that are on the water, three are one, you know, single room bathrooms, and two of them are two bedroom, two bath.
Oh.
So if you have a larger party coming, you can have, and they both have separate entries, and they're all really luxurious.
They're luxurious, and each one's different.
And each one's different. It's 12 individual homes, basically. I mean, they're all, they have their own character, they have their own names, they have, but they all have king-size beds with high thread count cotton sheets. They all have marble heated bathroom floors to keep your toes nice, toasty, warm in the mornings.
There are fireplaces.
Yes, they all have wood burning stoves that are all ready. Like our housekeeping staff gets it ready, so all you literally have to do is light a match to have a romantic fire. You know, and breakfast is brought to your room every morning, fresh squeezed orange juice, fresh French pressed coffees, fresh baked pastries from our pastry chef Gillian Halquist, and. I mean, it's a treat. It's a beautiful getaway.
No, I had breakfast. I don't usually eat breakfast, but I had breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a breakfast sandwich.
Those are good.
Okay, there it is.
I'll let Chef talk about that.
We do a Nooski's bacon and fried egg sandwich.
Right. That's it. Yeah.
The
yeah.
Fife.
Okay.
And the nice cheese is on there too.
Yes, we're Spring Hill Cheddar from Petaluma.
That's right, Spring Hill Cheddar.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really a very nice sandwich. It was a nice breakfast. And, you know, you can open the door, the bay is right there. Yeah.
We're there every day, and we still like staying there. So
yeah.
It's really...
It's a magical treat. It really is. And, you know, yes, it's luxurious, and yes, it's a little bit out of some people's price point, but midweek... Middle of in our off season, AAA discount. I mean, it's achievable. It's not that much more than you would spend because I've done the research. It's not that much more than you would spend at like a Holiday Inn in San Francisco.
And yeah,
you're getting
no comparison.
You're getting a lot more. Yeah, so.
Yeah, so Tuesday night's a good night to go when there's music.
Yeah, and then nights is a great night to go. Yeah. We have live music. We have a locals special pre-fee that's, you know, it's a glass of wine, it's a salad, and an entree for $25. So
that's a good price.
And
really
it includes
good
free music. I mean, it's a great deal. It's a great
It's a
way.
Party, too.
It
really
is a
is.
Party.
Yeah, it's a fun night.
Yeah.
We'll come out there some Tuesday night.
It's a lot of
well,
fun.
Well, let's talk about the restaurant and what... Or some of the, I mean, you have a big, in one of these, yes, you have really great PR people. They really gave me some very specific things. There's another recipe, actually, that I want because I want to include it in a book I'm working on. You do a lot with oysters, as you would expect. You have a Dungeness crab Louis sandwich. You have...
We have everything Dungeness right now.
Yes.
Yes. Now, didn't you, are you Tuesday having season. A Dungeness event? Coming
we
up.
Did. We did. We had it. It was fun. We
tell
had
us
a,
about it.
It was the inaugural, because apparently it's not okay to say first annual. It's what I've been told.
What?
People say, well, you can't say first annual because it's not annual yet.
Oh, okay.
So inaugural crab catch. And we had a couple of people sign up and go out and catch crabs, and they won some really nice awards and prizes.
I really wanted to write about it, and I missed the date.
Yeah, it was fun. And then for those that didn't have a boat and didn't want to participate in that part of the day, Chef did this awesome crab mac and cheese cooking demonstration.
You brought us some of that at the dinner. You brought us the crab mac and cheese.
Oh, yeah. It's to die for. It's like one of those, guilty pleasures. You're just eating it and you don't want to share.
It's comfort food for sure. It's coastal comfort food.
Yeah, it's delicious. So he got up in front of, there were like 40 people there. It was awesome. And we did a chef's demo in our covered back patio. It was gorgeous. It was just sunny, beautiful day. And everybody went home with a cute little embroidered apron for Crab Catch logo and the recipes. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. There will be a second annual.
Oh, yes.
There we go. Other than the mac and cheese, how do you like to prepare Dungeness crab?
I like it most in its entirety. I mean, right now we're doing a wood-fired, like a wood-grilled whole crab. Which really kind of that sweet and smoky flavor I love. But we do so much. I mean, everything from Louis to crab cakes.
How do you make your Louis dressing?
I can't say. Yeah. No, it's a secret. It's kind of a secret, but there's only 5 ingredients, so it's... Oh. And mayonnaise is one of them.
Well, it has to be.
Yes.
It has to be.
Yes. So there's 4 other ingredients.
Because I pride myself on my Louis dressing.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. I put my Louis dressing up against anyone's
Louis
dressing.
Next time you come out, we're going to have to do a side-by-side.
Well, Louis off. Yeah.
We can have a Louis off.
That's next year, we're going to have the first inaugural crab Louis off.
That sounds vaguely like, huh? I grew up in the Bay Area, and some of my earliest memories of San Francisco are of going and getting crab.
Yeah.
And I learned very early what I thought a crab Louis was, and I have over the years perfected it.
That's awesome. I love crab Louis.
I love it. It's my favorite thing. But I'm a purist. You know, I put 3 things in my Louis.
What 3 things?
The outer 3 to 4 layers of iceberg lettuce.
Okay.
Torn in big pieces, a lot of crab, and my Louis dressing, and then a wedge of lemon on the side. I don't do all of the other ingredients in the salad. I sort of do the, in a way, it's the Swan Oyster Depot style,
sure.
But not their dressing.
Right.
It's my own dressing.
So how do you make your dressing?
The secret ingredient is whipped cream.
Oh,
hand whipped cream. And what you get then is you get a different volume. You get a different texture. And then the mayonnaise and other ingredients are folded into this base of hand-whipped cream.
Okay, so our secret ingredient is Thai chili puree.
So you've got some heat going. I've got a little heat, but not that much.
It's very subtle.
I do a little bit of cayenne heat.
Mm. So probably about the same in heat. Okay, now I'm interested. You have to bring your...
We'll do it sometime. Absolutely.
As long as I can eat it, I'm happy.
Tell me about the goat meatballs.
They're great. We use a local ranch, Rosati Ranch, which is about 5 miles from Nick's, east of Nick's. Julie Rosati and her husband Tony both are natives to the area, so they raise their animals completely on their property. It's really an ideology that we're behind very much and it's their meatballs, so it's kind of an interesting way to introduce people to goat meat.
That was going to be my follow-up question, is how are people doing with goat?
They love them. And it's not, it's really, if you've never eaten goat, it may be that idea is foreign, but it's really not that foreign of a taste once you eat them.
And it used to be much more popular, you know. It's
the most popular meat around the world.
Absolutely.
It's kind of taken off here locally, and I think it will continue to will continue to grow.
Yeah, I think so too. What about laughing bird shrimp and shallots?
They are from Belize, so we source almost everything locally, and they're one of the products.
So is that the name of the shrimp, laughing bird shrimp?
They're a farm shrimp from Belize, and they're really sweet. It's all, you know, sustainable practices used. And they're great because we don't really have very many native shrimp here. We have to source them elsewhere, and they're one of my go-to favorites.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, I just saw that laughing bird shrimp. It's a really interesting name.
It's a good name.
Do they giggle?
Yes, just a little bit.
So now we have to, you've brought something.
I have.
And so you have to tell us what you've brought.
Well, you're probably more qualified to tell them about this because you actually ate our carrot bread pudding.
Oh, you brought the carrot bread pudding.
We did, which was part of, I think, a salmon dish that you had when you were out. We use bread puddings a lot. This is a savory bread pudding. We use them a lot in place of a starch on a plate.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of a different... you can only use potatoes so many ways, and then we look for other ways to.
You can never ever use potatoes in too.
Well, we've
many
tried. We certainly try.
I love potatoes.
So a great holiday recipe. A little sweet, but definitely more savory.
Yeah, it's it has to be sweet. I mean, carrots are sweet. But it's definitely a savory. You don't feel like you're, you know, there's this trend among some restaurants. There's always a very sweet element on every savory plate.
Right.
This doesn't have that at
right.
all. It you know, I'm not a fan of something sweet with every single course.
Right.
I thought this was really absolutely lovely, and I'm trying to remember the wine that we had with it because it was very lovely with the wine.
I think we went rosé with it.
Did we go rosé?
It was either that or it was the Palace Sauvignon Blanc.
No, then it was the rosé.
Okay.
Because it was a combination.
County line rosé.
There you go.
Yeah.
I knew it was a wine I knew.
Yeah.
So are we supposed to try it? It looks like we are. Let's try it.
So we're going to
Is the engineer
it.
Eating?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You have to keep in mind it's a component normally, so.
Right, exactly. And you've so generously given me the recipe, and I'm going to be doing something with this recipe.
It's a very versatile sort of holiday. You know, carrot season is upon us, and we actually used County Line harvest carrots in this today, which is out. You know, on the Marin-Sonoma County line.
Mm-hmm. Great little farm. Really a great little farm.
Yeah, and at many of the markets around. Just really savory. The brioche we make from our pastry department. And who doesn't like eggs and cream and bread and carrots?
And butter. And lots of butter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got a little dog here looking at us and wagging his tail. What was I going to ask? It just flew out of my head. Oh, I know. One of the things the restaurant does is a tasting menu.
Yes.
And that's what we had when we were there. Tell us about that.
I think it's a great way. It's a relatively new idea.
Yeah.
And, I mean, not new idea, but new to Mexico. And it's a great way to see a little bit of, I mean, the first course is always something pertaining to oysters. So you kind of run the whole spectrum of what we do. And mm-hmm. From an oyster beginning to a sweet ending and everything. It's usually two seafood courses. And then I like to introduce some meat too. I mean, we are more than just a seafood restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
I think it gives you a really good idea of what it is we do.
Yeah. And it really showcases chef's talents in mm-hmm. the kitchen.
Yeah, and it's this sort of thing where if you're going to have the tasting menu, the whole table should have it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to do it that way, you should, because everybody else is going to just be jealous the whole time.
Right. And
right.
The pacing,
nobody wants to watch you eat five courses.
Yeah.
And plus, the pacing is going to be weird.
Yeah.
Yes.
One person gets the tasting menu and someone else gets a hamburger. It just doesn't work very well.
No. We try to avoid that.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the interim menu, the 3-5 menu. It's a great place. I mean, if you're coming home, if for some reason you're out there,
mm-hmm.
it's a great little break before you come all the way home. So mm-hmm. am I right in assuming you can get oysters?
You, of course.
Yes.
There is no time of day that you can't get oysters in Mexico.
And oysters on the half shell?
Yes. All of our cooked and all of our raw oysters are available. Plus a lot of the lunch staples, fish and chips, mac and cheese,
meatballs.
Our deviled eggs, meatballs. Yeah,
I'm pretty much you can actually get pretty significant food during that
you
time.
Can. Yes. Sure. Cool. Yeah. So it's almost like a happy hour. It's a scaled down menu, but it's been greeted very well. I mean, everybody seems to find what they need.
Yeah, it's basically a bridge. So a lot of the mm-hmm. items that are on our lunch menu are also on our dinner menu in the sides and shares portion.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those items are still available because.
Sure.
They're going to be available at dinner.
Right.
So you can get those during the midday and then kind of bridge it a little bit with, like, people, you know, fish and chips or burger or something mm-hmm. like that.
Oh, and one thing we forgot to do, we haven't talked about yet, is when you check in.
Yes.
You get a little treat.
Yes, you do. You get
arrival.
And so does your puppy.
And so does
your puppy.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, so there is a gentleman who runs an organization called Pet Trucker. And you are rated based on how friendly and welcoming you are to pets. And the highest rating is pet passionate, not just pet friendly. And we are pet passionate. Yes, how we nice. Are. So if you do bring a canine friend, that doggy will receive a pastry made treat, a little dog pastry that our pastry chef makes.
Joey
for
loves them.
Yes, they're adorable with little paw prints, and then a little dog towel for him or her in the bed in the cottage. But the human gets to have barbecued oysters delivered to their room as our arrival plate. And if you don't like oysters, and that's okay, we know there are those of you out there that don't like oysters, we do a cheese plate, which, and that's a really nice way to showcase our local cheesemakers, mm-hmm. because all of our cheeses are local, mm-hmm. which we're, how could they not be? We are in the middle of spectacular
we're in kind of cheese country.
Country.
I mean,
yeah,
we're kind of adjacent to wine country and in cheese country.
Yeah.
And then do you do the same thing with wines? Do you source most of your wines within Marin and Sonoma?
We try to start in Marin, definitely, and work outward from there. And there are several vineyards growing now in Marin.
Absolutely. There's some couple of beautiful Pinot Noirs.
Yeah, whether it's Pei or Stubbs.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's another one I've had that's been very nice.
Is it Stubbs?
I'm trying to remember.
There's Point Reyes Vineyards.
We just had McNeil and Sons we brought in from Nicasio, which was the first winemaker I know from Nicasio.
Yeah. Is that new?
Patrick McNeil.
Yeah, I remember meeting them. I love their business cards.
Yeah.
They have that pig on them, and they're like super thick.
Right. So... Yeah,
it's all the little things.
We
look at everything.
It's the little
things that, you know, there's so much personality, even down to a business card. Like, mm-hmm. you know that it's a passionate, they're passionate about what they do, and it's going to come through in their wine or their cheese or whatever it is that mm-hmm. they're making or the carrots that they grow.
Yeah.
And we try to stay away. I mean, our wine list is very focused on boutique sort of producers. Mm-hmm. So we don't necessarily have the wines you'll find in Safeway. We have... wines that a lot of times the winemaker or owner of the winery is bringing his delivery is our delivery
man.
Sure.
Which is nice.
Small, and then you have the luxury of doing that, and where you are, it's like seems like a natural.
It seems right.
Yeah. You also have a really interesting cocktail.
Which one?
It comes in a mug.
Oh, the Moscow Mule.
Yes, tell us about that.
Oh, I love the Moscow. That's like one of my favorites.
That was really good.
Yeah, so I'm the worst person to ask about a cocktail. I just like to drink them. I don't really know how to make them.
I think it's ginger beer. And
ginger beer, cock and bull, ginger beer.
Vodka.
Where's Dean when we say
ginger beer? That's
It's so refreshing.
It is exactly.
And the the mug is super fun.
And it was really good with oysters on the half shell.
Mm-hmm. It's good. Pretty much good with anything.
Yeah.
There's that.
It's good before oysters on the half shell.
Now, one thing, when Pat Coletto had the place up until last mm-hmm. year, was it dog friendly?
It was.
Okay. Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
Was like how I came in.
Why is it important to us?
But why is it important?
I mean, so many places don't.
Yeah.
I think it's lovely.
We're both dog owners, so we're kind of biased.
I love to travel with my dog.
Unless I guess you have an obnoxious dog, and I guess there are obnoxious dogs.
Well,
but it
sure.
just seems so logical to
but
have
usually,
nice
honestly,
dogs.
But usually, the people with obnoxious dogs
don't travel with them.
Because they don't want to take them anywhere. I just think that in more and more, I mean, my dog... is part of my family. Mm-hmm. And while I don't take my son everywhere, I don't take my dog everywhere, there are times when it's really fun that we can all go somewhere. And I don't have to worry about getting a sitter for the dog or wonder if he's going to dig out of the yard. It's just nice to have
him. And some dogs like the adventure.
Yeah.
I mean, I've taken Joey.
Yeah.
I've taken him to New Orleans.
How's he feel about the water at Nick's?
I took him down when we were leaving. Or either just leaving or just getting there, I took him down to the water, and it was not his idea of a good time.
Yeah,
but you know the area there is very, very narrow.
Right.
Yes.
Last week or the week before, I took him to Doran Beach.
Mm-hmm.
He had a blast.
Oh, really?
Oh,
did he go in?
Well,
or get close?
Oh, yeah. He got up to his tummy. Uh-huh. He was walking with me. And we did that several times, and he got tired of it after a while. But he was—he had a—I mean, he really liked running right through where the water's coming up. Yeah. I mean, he just raced up and down the beach with me. And then while I was sitting and reading, he left without my noticing and made friends with everyone on the beach who was having a picnic. I looked up and he was in some woman's lap flirting with her. And I realized she had the sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so he's fine with it, but I think it was a little claustrophobic there at Tamales.
Sure, there's a lot going on.
Yeah. When we get dogs, we, of all sizes, I mean, there was, I love this story. One of the cottages needed something and I didn't know that they had a dog, or I didn't look to see if they had a dog before I delivered something to their room. And I got up to the door and I was just about to knock. And this big dog jumps up on the window. And our doors, most of them have windows. Like, and it just, it startled me. I almost fell over. And then I was like, oh, I hope he doesn't scratch the door. But he was huge.
What kind of dog?
It was like a Great Dane.
Wow.
I mean, it was a huge dog. Super nice. But we get all shapes and sizes and dogs. And we've never once, that I know of, never once have we received a complaint from another cottage guest that someone else's dog is bothering them.
Oh, good.
So we were lucky about that, I guess. But I think it's important to allow dogs. Not all of our cottages are dog friendly.
Mm-hmm.
We do keep our two cottages that have wall-to-wall carpeting. We don't allow dogs in there. And then one of our waterfronts, we keep dog. We don't allow dogs in there, just so that if anyone has allergies or they have a place to go that they know dogs have not been in there.
Right. Yeah.
And so.
It seems like more and more hotels and inns are allowing dogs.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're also allowing cats, but.
You know, no one's ever brought a cat. Someone brought a bird once. I think. Yeah.
People travel with their birds.
Yeah, they travel with their birds. I think it wasn't like she really traveled with it. I think it was that it was maybe needing medication or something. And but, I think it's fun.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any snakes yet.
I've seen people traveling with their cat. I saw these two.
Just the natives.
Beautiful men.
Yeah.
They were Middle Eastern. I don't know from exactly where, but they were they were Middle Eastern, and it was winter, and they both had on those beautiful long coats like you see on men in New York, and they were both dressed very nicely, and they had two black cats that also looked almost identical, and they were out of there. They were waiting for their baggage, and so the cats were sitting outside of their little carriers on their leashes, and they were tuxedo cats. They were just sitting there with their men, and it was just such a handsome picture, and I didn't have a camera, but I did talk to them, and they'd been traveling for traveling for years with their cats, and their cats were totally comfortable on leashes and traveling. And shortly after that, I got a new cat, and I immediately tried to train him to a leash and harness, and I don't know the secret.
How'd that go for you?
Did not go real well. So we quit doing that. But it is possible.
Yeah.
So, you know, time flies on Mouthful, and we are running out of time. So I want to go back and just recap a lot of the details.
Sure.
North Marshall.
Yes.
North Highway Marshall. 1.
Highway 1.
How many miles from the town of Tamales?
Three.
Three. That just blows my mind.
Yeah.
That is just, you could practically throw a rock.
Yeah.
So really from 25 minutes from Petaluma,
yep.
35 minutes or so, 30, 35 minutes from Sebastopol.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great day getaway. Great evening getaway.
It is. And actually, it's not even that far from Lake Cotati or Roner Park because you take the back roads.
Yeah.
You come out Meacham to Pepper to Bodega. Yeah. I mean, it's about the same distance.
Yeah. It's a really easy place to get. 10 to 3 for brunch on weekends.
Yes.
5 until, what time do you close at night?
9 o'clock is when we stop serving.
Okay.
So we stop taking reservations.
Stop taking reservations.
Really stop if there's people.
Yeah, if there are people coming through, especially on a weekend, we'll just go with the flow. Yeah.
And then you have the interim menu, the bridge menu, 3 to 5 every day.
Yes.
And we should tell people What's the best way for them to get details? To go to the website?
Go to the website, yeah. It has lots of information. And then, of course, just a couple events coming up. On December 9th, we're doing a fundraiser for the Ritter House, the Ritter Center in San Rafael. And it's being hosted by Jan Wall, TV personality Jan Wall. She'll be there, a little brunch. A lot of fun. We're collecting coats, and then we're donating a portion of our sales that day to the Ritter House. And then on Sunday, December 16th, Santa is making his way to Nick's Cove to our St. Nick's Boat Shack.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and a photographer
will be
on
arriving
site.
By boat?
That's the word I heard. I don't know.
He did
we'll
last
see.
Year, right?
He did last year, yeah. So we'll
see. He doesn't tell us.
Okay. It's a surprise.
Cool. And so, and
he loves oysters, that Santa.
There you go. And you said pictures?
There will be a photographer there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or you can bring your own camera. You don't have to use a photographer. But, and there will be hot cider and hot cocoa and some
that you have to go inside
cookies.
To get.
All that will be at the boat shack. That's all free.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh.
And if you bring canned goods, because we're collecting canned food for the Marin Food Bank, if you bring a canned food item, you'll receive a 15% coupon off of your lunch or dinner that day.
Oh.
And it's from 3 to 5.
Oh, 3 to 5. Okay.
Yeah.
3 to 5. So. Excellent. And the phone number is?
415-663-1033.
And say it one more time.
415-663-1033.
Cool. And then just real quickly, what's the price range midweek to spend the night?
To spend the night. $225.
Okay.
Yeah.
The average price.
Yeah, that's our Waterview Cottage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then... You can, if you have a AAA, there's 10% discount.
Oh, cool. Okay. Okay. There you go. Well, I really thank you for driving all the way from Petaluma.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, it's great. It's okay. Great. And thank you so much for bringing the bread pudding. As you can tell, thank you for dinner.
Good. Take it home.
And thank you for tuning in. Thanks to Mike for engineering. Glad you were well fed tonight, Mike. And next week, we will have Bruce Idels, who has his new book. I think it's The Complete Meat Book. He will be on everything you want to know about cooking all kinds of meat, including goat. So meet me back here for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. Have a great week.
And just a comment. Moscow Mule is vodka, ginger beer, and lime.
The Lord that praises me. It's time for dinner now. Let's go eat. We've got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher said. To the Lord that praises me. It's time for dinner now. Let's go eat.
And the mama's in the kitchen.
Oh, yes,
she's been there all day. I know she's cooking something. This story,
well,
children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Listen to what the preacher says.